Tonight, a deadly wreck on the tracks. An Amtrak train packed with Republican members of Congress, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, slams into a truck in its path.
Mass casualty incident, level one, train versus truck.
Lawmakers jumping in to help the injured. We have the latest from the scene. It's President Trump versus his own FBI director again. The FBI makes a rare public warning. Grave concerns about the accuracy of that secret Russia investigation memo, urging the White House not to release it. The CDC director resigns amid scandal, right as the agency is fighting this flu emergency exploding in 49 states. Kids and migraines and the unusual way doctors are treating them. Would you believe Botox?
I saw a night and day difference.
Parents say it's a life changer. And meet the real life heroes turned movie stars playing themselves in Clint Eastwood's new Hollywood blockbuster.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. We begin with the frightening moments on the rails for Republican members of Congress today. A deadly collision between the chartered Amtrak train they were aboard and a garbage truck. One of those in the truck was killed, another critically injured. Some tonight describing a loud noise, a sudden jolt, belongings scattered everywhere, and the rush to attend to those who were hurt. Tonight, the NTSB is joining the investigation into the crash. Our Casey Hunt reports now from the scene in Crozet, Virginia.
Mass casualty incident, level one, train versus truck.
Just outside Charlottesville, Virginia, at 11:20 this morning, a garbage truck split in two by a chartered Amtrak train carrying hundreds of Republican members of Congress, their spouses and children, on the way to a policy retreat at the Greenbrier Resort.
I personally was sitting and just felt a very strong jolt, which shocked everybody.
Most on board the train, including the House Speaker Paul Ryan, were not hurt. But outside, lawmakers, several of the medical doctors, rushed to try and save the men riding the garbage truck.
I can't find a pulse. Dr. Rowe can't find a pulse, so we started CPR.
One man died at the scene, another in critical condition.
So they were working on the man that was injured for quite a while, and for about 20 minutes, but he was breathing, obviously very serious condition.
After the crash, Amtrak said two crew members and two passengers were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Authorities still investigating what caused the crash. But on board, initially there was fear.
And at first we didn't know. A lot of people, I think, thought the worst. Maybe there had been an attack on the train. But I think right now everyone's pretty confident about what happened.
For some, it was eerily familiar, recalling the terrifying Republican congressional baseball practice where Steve Scalise was shot.
My mind went back to the same thing, cutting away Steve's uniform so we could apply a tourniquet. And so anyway, it's too reminiscent.
The reality is that these crashes happen several times a week, sometimes when drivers try to beat the train. Witnesses today said that the crossing arms appeared to be down and the lights appeared to be flashing, but the NTSB is coming in to investigate. Lester.
Casey Hunt in Virginia for us tonight. Thank you. Another big story we're following this evening is the battle brewing between President Trump and his own FBI director, who is sounding the alarm over the potential release of that Republican memo on the Russia investigation. The president indicating he'll release it. The FBI now signaling grave concerns over its accuracy, urging the president not to do it. We get all the latest now from NBC's Peter Alexander.
Report as to what it looks tonight, like President Trump again clashing with his FBI director, this time Christopher Wray, the man he handpicked to replace James Comey. The flashpoint, a controversial Republican memo alleging anti-Trump bias within the FBI and Justice Department. The Bureau tonight waging an extraordinary public campaign to prevent the classified documents' release, warning of grave concerns about facts left out that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy.
Is President any response to
President Trump tonight ignoring questions about the FBI's plea?
Thank you.
Still, the president's mind appears made up.
Let's release the memo. Don't worry. 100%.
Chief of Staff John Kelly today backing up his boss.
It'll be released here pretty quick, I think, and the whole world can see it.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, a former Trump transition official, unleashing his own unprecedented attack on the FBI and DOJ, accusing the agencies of having stonewalled Congress's demands for information for nearly a year. All of it overshadowing what the White House billed as a unifying State of the Union address. But President Trump's tough tone on a crucial immigration sticking point
drew Democratic boos.
Under the current broken system, a single immigrant can bring in virtually unlimited numbers of distant relatives. Under our plan.
That's not true. Relatives like aunts, uncles, and cousins cannot be sponsored. Still, the president's earning praise from this group of Trump voters.
Americans are dreamers, too. Mm-hmm. I like that comment. Yeah. I thought it was really on the money for where we are at.
I'm worried about, you know, within the week, he's going to say something on Twitter and pick a fight with somebody.
One more item about that memo. Critics argue it's intended to undermine the Russia investigation. Tonight, the transcript of a closed-door House Intelligence Committee meeting this week shows the Republican chair, Devin Nunes, refused to answer whether the White House worked with anyone on his staff as they put that memo together. Lester?
Peter Alexander at the White House, thank you. A surprise shakeup to report at the CDC. Its director, Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, resigned today amid growing questions about financial conflicts of interest. Fitzgerald, a Trump appointee, has come under fire after she reportedly bought stocks in tobacco and healthcare companies after she took over at the CDC in July. This comes, of course, as the CDC is overseeing the response to the worst flu season in nearly a decade. Tonight, this flu emergency is hitting home for many across the country. Long lines for the flu shot, pharmacies struggling to keep Tamiflu on hand, and schools and churches taking urgent action to prevent the spread. We get the latest from NBC's Kerry Sanders.
In Florida, Louisiana, and Texas today, the offer of free flu shots brought out families like the Ballous.
We know that it's more prevalent this year than it has been in the past, and so we just know it was time.
An urgent reason to get vaccinated, cases like 45-year-old Hope McCord McFarland.
It's every mother's worst nightmare.
Now on a ventilator in Virginia.
Flu shot saves lives. If you get the flu shot, you won't be living the nightmare that I'm living now.
As more schools across the nation close for deep cleaning at Catholic churches, parishioners no longer share the same chalice during the sacrament.
I ask the Lord every day to bless me and keep me healthy.
Widespread flu has driven demand for Tamiflu. The antiviral drug reduces the flu's duration and symptoms. It's safe for pregnant women.
What happens if you don't have the flu, but you take Tamiflu?
Well, you can take Tamiflu to prevent getting the flu if you've been exposed to the flu.
But the FDA and CDC warned there could be side effects, nausea and vomiting, and in rare cases for children, hallucinations. Although drug makers tell NBC News there's plenty of Tamiflu, pharmacies are scrambling to keep it on hand.
Our supplier ran out yesterday, but we do have more on order.
The best defense, say doctors, is the vaccine. For the Wilkins family of eight, today, eight free shots, and now peace of mind.
What do you hope the shot does?
Stay protected from the flu.
Tonight, as hospital ERs and emergency care centers like this see more flu patients every day, it's estimated this flu season will cost businesses more than $9 billion in lost productivity of employees calling in sick. Lester?
We're seeing it all around us. All right, Kerry Sanders, thanks. Michigan State University is facing a deadline to turn over potential evidence in the investigation into its handling of the sex abuse scandal involving former USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar. Nassar was in court today for his third and final sentencing hearing, where we learned that the number of accusers who say he abused them has now risen to at least 265. NBC's Rahima Ellis has the latest.
Larry Nassar is a criminal of the worst kind.
More emotional and powerful statements from dozens of Larry Nassar's accusers.
It takes a monster backed by ego, experience, and power fueled by multiple institutions to sexually assault a child in front of their own mother.
And now more focus on his former employers and the police.
As a student at Michigan State, I'm completely heartbroken and betrayed by the school's administration.
I am not proud to go to this school.
Today at Michigan State University, where Nassar was a doctor, protests despite the change to a new interim president.
This institution has much that it can be proud of, but we have to change the culture.
The time is up for you, Mr. Nassar.
Tomorrow, Breanne Randall Gay is expecting a public apology from the police department, which dismissed her complaints against Nassar over a decade ago.
I believe that if my report would have been taken seriously in 2004, that many of these victims would have never met Larry Nassar.
Now, Michigan Attorney General investigators are demanding MSU turn over emails, texts, and other files associated with Nassar. And at USA Gymnastics, the entire board resigned amid pressure from the U.S. Olympic Committee. Long overdue changes for many, including four-time Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles, who shared her story this morning on Today.
So it feels like he took a part of me that I can't get back, so I'm still working on that part.
Tonight, hundreds of young women taking back their lives and holding institutions accountable. Rahima Ellis, NBC News.
There is a new and controversial tactic up for debate in the fight against America's opioid crisis. Lawmakers in one state now considering a desperate measure to enable doctors to force addicts into treatment against their will. Does it work and is it ethical? NBC's Stephanie Gossick explains in our continuing coverage of this deadly epidemic, One Nation Overdosed.
Users passed out in cars, needles lining alleys. These are the images of America's opioid crisis. In Massachusetts, Governor Charlie Baker has a bold and controversial new idea, a proposed law that would allow doctors on the front lines to force patients into treatment, even if they don't want to go.
Do you see patients in here that are about to walk out on the street and you think to yourself, that person's going to die in the next few days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every single day.
Under the law, physicians like Dr. Leigh Becker would be allowed to transport patients against their will to one of five treatment facilities in the state. Once there, the treatment center could force patients to stay for up to 72 hours before needing a judge's approval.
It is absolutely something that we consider, and that I consider personally, the last resort.
Forced treatment is already allowed in Massachusetts and 36 other states, but requires a judge's approval. Removing the judge from the process, critics say, could violate users' rights.
People who have undergone forced treatment in Massachusetts are twice as likely to die, according to the state's own data, as people who have undergone voluntary treatment.
But Dan Mumbauer, who runs this treatment center, believes doctors should be trusted.
It's a very serious thing to take someone's civil liberties away from them. So I don't take it lightly at all.
If they didn't do it, I was going to die.
Patrick Cronin's parents had a judge force him into treatment 12 years ago.
I overdosed. I went to a hospital. And the second I got out, I got high. In my hospital outfit.
Cronin, who now runs a drug treatment center, supports the proposed law.
There was a mental health situation when someone literally said, I'm going to take my own life. By letting someone walk out the door with addiction, you know it's the same thing. They're about to lose their life from drugs, so why can't we do the same thing?
Radical but necessary, he says, because opioids have put so many lives on the line. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Brockton, Massachusetts.
We'll take a turn now to the alleged hush money scandal that has so many people talking. It all started with a bombshell report claiming President Trump's attorney paid an adult film star $130,000 to keep quiet about an extramarital affair. Now that actress has spoken out, but she has left far more questions than answers. NBC Chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has the story for us.
For Melania Trump, a standing ovation at the Capitol on her husband's big night. He now finds himself in a storm of controversy as a porn star's PR push lands her on a late-night couch after a report the president's attorney gave six figures to Stormy Daniels to keep an alleged affair quiet.
Does this at all seem familiar to you? Tidy whities?
The appearance comes after the Wall Street Journal reported Daniels received hush money right before the election to keep under wraps a supposed sexual relationship with Donald Trump in 2006. Those allegations of an affair denied by the president's longtime lawyer and denied by Daniels herself in this signed statement. But
the signature on the original statement does not match the signature on this statement.
Daniels playing it coy.
Did you sign this letter that was released today?
I don't know. Did I? I do not know where.
You do not know where it came from.
The alleged encounters with Donald Trump reportedly happened not long after the president's wife, Melania Trump, had given birth to the couple's son. The first lady's office pushing back strongly on reports she's angry with her husband, saying the laundry list of salacious and flat out false reporting about Mrs. Trump by tabloid publications and TV shows has seeped into mainstream media. Her office says Melania Trump is focusing instead on her role as first lady, a role that includes hosting guests at the State of the Union, In a break from tradition, the First Lady accompanied them to the Capitol before her husband arrived, the two returning to the White House together. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, the White House.
Still ahead tonight, stopping migraines in children. Could the answer be something that's usually just for grown-ups? Also, the three real-life American heroes bringing their own story to the big screen with the help of a Hollywood legend. We're back now with medical news that will have a lot of parents sitting up and taking notice. If you've ever taken care of a child who suffers from migraines, you know how debilitating they can be and how helpless you can feel watching them. Nearly 10% of kids get migraines, and doctors are now using an unusual treatment to stop them. NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres has details on kids, migraines, and Botox.
Playing baseball used to be impossible for 9-year-old Manu Tiave. He'd suffered serious migraines since he was 3.
I was throwing up. All I was doing is going, like, laying down. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't do mostly anything.
His only choice, going to the hospital to get strong painkillers.
So frustrating as a parent to see, you know, your kid in pain and not being able to do anything.
Migraines affect 5 million children. With few treatments available, they're either forced to take strong drugs with major side effects or suffer through the pain.
These children are not going to school. They're not functioning. They're falling behind. Worsening of pain when I press.
But now new hope using an unusual treatment, Botox. The popular wrinkle reducer is also FDA approved for adults with migraines. A new study finds it significantly reduced the headaches in children too. After just one treatment, 31 injections around the head, kids reported anywhere from 6 to 20 fewer migraines each month, and the headaches they did have were shorter and less painful. Researchers believe the Botox blocks pain signals. Manu tried Botox last year. Now he gets injections every 10 weeks.
I saw a night and day difference. He's back in school. He's playing sports. He is playing with his brother.
Taking a shot at a new treatment so he can get back to being a kid again. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Orange, California.
Coming up, the surprise move a major American city is making now that recreational pot is legal there. And mystery solved. We finally know what was in the blue gift box that one First Lady gave to another. If you were up late last night or perhaps early this morning, extra early, you may have seen the spectacular show in the sky, a rare super blue blood moon. When a blue moon meets a super moon, throw in a lunar eclipse and voila, the best views were in Alaska and Hawaii, but still pretty good here in the lower 48 for the first super blue blood moon in 35 years. A surprise announcement in San Francisco tonight where prosecutors say they will expunge and dismiss thousands of misdemeanor and felony marijuana convictions for those sentenced prior to the passage of a California law legalizing recreational pot. The more lenient rules will apply to cases dating back to 1975, even if those convicted don't file a petition. You can all sleep easier tonight. We now know what was in the box. It was one of the biggest mysteries from Inauguration Day last year when Mrs. Trump gave Mrs. Obama a present from Tiffany's. You might remember that awkward handoff when she didn't quite know where to put the gift before posing for photos. Mrs. Obama now telling Ellen DeGeneres in an interview airing tomorrow that the gift was a lovely frame. Up next here tonight, the big new movie starring the real-life American heroes who inspired us. Finally tonight, the amazing true story of three American heroes coming soon to the big screen. And when it came time to choose actors to play them, director Clint Eastwood had a big surprise in store. Here's Joe Fryer.
They were already real-life heroes. Now, they're real-life movie stars. Alex Scarlato, Spencer Stone, and Anthony Sadler play themselves in the 1517 to Paris. The movie recounts how they stopped an armed terrorist aboard a Paris-bound train in 2015, a true story that captured the attention of the world and director Clint Eastwood.
Just having someone call you and say, I have Clint Eastwood on the other line, I'm going to patch him through. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's okay.
Naturally, they assumed established actors would fill the roles.
Who did you want to play you?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
It's like Chris Hemsworth.
Zac Efron.
But Eastwood said he wanted to cast the guys who knew the story better than anyone.
Was there any part of you that was like, no, I don't think I want to do this.
There was a part, for sure. Because we didn't want to ruin it.
We interviewed the men at a Sacramento church where Sadler's dad is pastor. The three childhood friends grew up in this town, often escaping into the woods near their elementary school, a moment captured in the film.
We did everything here.
I mean, these were like the simplest of times. Like, we didn't have to worry about anything.
Still close as adults, they vacationed in Europe together, which is what brought them to that train.
Spencer, go!
They say reliving the moment when they confronted the terrorist wasn't hard, it was healing.
We didn't really process, like, almost dying and inadvertently saving a bunch of people.
What we did that day is something that no one can ever take away from us and something we'll be proud for the rest of our lives.
Pride for the greatest role they'll ever play, themselves. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Sacramento.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.